Now, I remember years ago when we were over at Dallas, I'd done something that I've never done since. I had never done it before. It was a one-time thing that I'd done. Because that Sunday, I was getting ready to preach, and all of a sudden, the Lord just laid on my heart. I thought I heard him speak to me audibly. He said, "Son, there's a lot of my people here have pain today, and I want to heal all of them." Well, there was probably 100 people there that day, and I thought, well, there may be two or three. So I said, the Lord just said, "Is there anybody with pain here?" I said, "He wants to heal you today." So I said, "If you have pain, I want you to get up and come up here, and I'm going to pray for you right here on the platform." My goodness, must have been 25 people got up. People were coming up. I was laying hands on them and praying for them. And man, their pain was going away. They were just getting healed like crazy. And I'm thinking, wow, God, this is fun serving you. I love serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him seeing the things he does. And then this one lady came up and she had pain. I said, "What's your pain?" She told me. I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray for you." I did. I said, "Now your pain's gone away." She said, "No, it hasn't. It's still there." And so I prayed again. And I said, "Now it has to go away." She said, "It hasn't gone away." I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, say Jesus is my Lord." She said, G. I said, "Say Jesus is my Lord." And she could not say it. She could not say it. So I reached up and grabbed her. And I said, "You devil of hell, I command you to come out of her right now in the name of Jesus and go away and stop blinding her mind to the Word of God." I said, "Get out, Satan, in Jesus' name." I said, "Now, woman, say, Jesus is my Lord." She said, "Jesus is my Lord." Amen. And she got gloriously saved right there. I said, "Now you're a daughter of the King." A while ago, you wasn't. I prayed for her one more time. I said, "Now what happened to your pain?" She said, "It all went away." Right. Now, isn't that something? Don't you love serving Jesus? Yeah. I mean, I love serving Jesus. And then that's the only one I had like that day. The rest of them, no problem. Why did it not happen? I thought, if this has not happened, this woman cannot be a daughter of the King. So he's not going to heal her until she becomes his daughter. That's when I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Well, yes." And I said, "Well, okay, then say. I'm going to prove, like the scripture says, I'm going to prove beyond a doubt, shadow of a doubt, that she's really a Christian." And I said, "So if you are, say Jesus is my Lord." She could not even speak the name of Jesus. Of course, that reminded me of a couple that called me on Thursday before the healing school on Saturday. They said, "We have a 10-year-old grandson that he is rebellious and he won't do nothing we tell him to do," and said, "We want you to come out here and pray for this boy." I said, "Well, ma'am, I don't have time to do that between now and Saturday." I said, "So where do y'all live?" And they told me, I said, "Well, it's only a couple hour drive from where y'all are to Dallas." I said, "Why don't y'all bring the boy to the healing school Saturday?" They said, "We can do that." I said, "It starts at 1 o'clock. So they brought the little boy and they sat there for the whole 4 or 5 hours. After it was over, finally the grandmother and grandfather, they came up and they said, "We're the couple that called. They said, we have the 10-year-old grandson that's rebellious." I said, "Where is he?" And they said, "Well, he's back over there doing something." I said, "Well, call him up here." So they called him and said, "Son, come up here." So he come up here. I knelt down in front of the little guy like this. I like to be right at their height. So I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Son, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior?" He said, "Nope." I said, "How would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life?" "Nope, I ain't interested." I said, "You're not interested?" I said, "You're not interested in going to heaven and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ?" "Nope. Don't want nothing to do with it." Now then, I know who's blinding his mind. I know I have power over him. So I said, "You devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. Stop blinding his mind." I said, "Go on, Jesus' name." I said, "Father, convict the boy of sin." I said, "Now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life?" He said, "I'd love it." "I'd love it." And I led the little boy to Jesus right there. And about 2 weeks later, Grandma and Grandpa called me and they said, "Mr. Scrivener, if we hadn't have been there and seen it, it's unbelievable. Our grandson is a totally different boy. Said he's not rebellious anymore. He walks in love with us. He obeys us. He does everything we tell him to do. Said he is just the sweetest little guy." Well, why was he not sweet before? What did he have in him? A devil, of course, demons. How much power do we have over the demons? Jesus is talking to me. He's talking to you. He said, "I give you authority to trample on the serpent and his demons. All power is given to you over him. They shall in no wise hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that those evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven." Amen. Is that awesome or is that awesome? Hey, if I've got that kind of authority, why should I be in fear about anything? I have power as a son of God over everything on the earth. It's all mine. I don't have to be afraid of nothing. I can cast a demon out of a child. I've done it so many times. It's so much fun to see their lives totally change. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have power over the devil?
Yeah.
And he has to obey you? Just think, people that don't read the word, they don't ever learn that. I plan to live a long, long time because I'm having so much fun serving Jesus. You know, and when I die, I'm going to go home and be with Jesus. I'm going to be in heaven. So he ain't going to need me to do nothing up there, I don't guess, until we come back for the millennial reign here on earth. And then I'll get to come back and reign and rule with him on this earth just like you will. But until that time, hey, I'd rather just kick out devils and tell people about Jesus and pray for people and see our King do awesome things. Hadn't you?
Amen.
Hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Wow, praise the Lord. So this is the way you find out if they have the Spirit of God. If a prophet or person acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being or came in the flesh, that person has the Spirit of God. Is Jesus my Lord? Oh, yes, Jesus is my Lord. I have no problem voicing that, and we need to do that regularly. Now, then, verse 3 and 4. If a prophet does not acknowledge Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he is going to come into the world, and he is already here. Now, he's been here for a long time, I'll say that. That's just like one day I had a forklift that wasn't working down at the airport, and they sent a young man out there, and he was out there working on the forklift, and I went back and I said, "Son, you're a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You go to church?" "No." I said, "Well, what do you mean you're a Christian? You don't go to church?" He said, "Me and God's got a deal." I said, "Son, the book is the deal. And I didn't read anywhere in there where you don't have to go to church. I didn't see that in the deal." I said, "The deal says you are to go to church and serve God." He said, "Well, you see, I don't believe that." I said, "Well, you know, it doesn't make sense. What you believe, if what you believe doesn't line up with the book, then you're wrong. You're wrong." I said, "What you believe has to line up with the book." I said, "You know, son, you need to come to know Jesus. You need to accept him as Lord and Savior." I said, "You're not a Christian." He said, "I am." I said, "Just say Jesus is my Lord." He said, "No." Well, no, unfortunately, I didn't grab him and shake him and kick the devil out of him. I should have. You know, sometimes you just don't do everything you should. Do you know that? I didn't do it for him, so I should have, but I didn't. "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won your fight with these false prophets, because the spirit who lives in you is lesser than the spirit who lives in the world." Is that not what that said? That spirit in 1 John 4:4, he is greater is he that lives in you and me than he that lives in the world. So if the spirit of God that lives in you and me is greater than any other spirit in the world, why in the world do we ever live in fear? What could we possibly be afraid of? Somebody said, "Well, you know, that's in the spirit world. That's not in the flesh world." Oh, it's in both worlds. Think about this little ruddy kid, this teenager. This a little ruddy kid. And here is a 10-foot-tall giant. And he comes over there and this giant said, "You know, I'm going to kill Israel." And this little bitty ruddy kid, he said, "Who is that uncircumcised heathen over there? You know, why don't y'all go over there and knock him out?" They said, "Look at him. He's 10-foot tall. His sword weighs more than I do." And David says, "Well, I can take him on by myself because I have the spirit of the living God living in me. Let me pick up some rocks here. I'll knock him out. I'll cut his head off." Now then, what kind of confession does David have? "I'll kill him. I'll knock him out. I'll cut his head off. I'll fight the battle of the Lord." Man, he's saying everything right, isn't he? Think of what that little ruddy kid's confession is. And what do when something happens? "Oh, I don't know if I can handle that or not. Oh, I don't know if I can make it to church today. I mean, it's a little cold outside, so I'm not sure I can make it." Oh, my goodness, something bad wrong here. So this little teeny ruddy kid goes out there and picks up 5 smooth stones, puts one in his slingshot, and this guy said, "What do y'all mean sending a kid against me? I'm a man." And he says, "Wham!" And the only place unprotected on his head was right between his eyes. And that rock lodged right there. Who do you think was driving that rock? The Lord, the Holy Spirit of the living God. and he knocked out that big uncircumcised giant, and that guy, it knocked him plumb out, and he fell down on the ground, and he's laying there, and little ruddy kid runs over there, pulls that giant sword out, which is big as he is, and whacks his head off right there. And after everybody else saw this little dinky ruddy kid do what he did, what did the rest of the boys do? They went to battle. They thought, if this kid can do this, well, surely we can whip these boys. And so they went over there, and they went in there with fervor, and they went over there, and they wiped out that army and killed them all. But we had to have one little tiny kid that knew who he was in Christ. We had to have a little kid that knew that he had the Spirit of the living God living inside of him, and he was greater than anything that the devil could throw at you on this earth. Hey, that same Spirit, where does he live today? Right here. That's right. In each one of us. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. Verse 5 and 6. These people belong to this world. So they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. I don't listen to the world. I don't want to listen to the world. I had a man ask me one time, what is it that determines who you listen to? I said, first of all, I want to know how many people they get saved. Do you ever get anybody saved? I'll listen to you. You ever get anybody healed? I'll listen to you. You ever get anybody delivered? I'll listen to you, because I want what you got. I want what you got. Everybody should want what you have. Like myself, for years I had all that power in me, but I didn't know it was in there. So I couldn't use it. I didn't know that greater is the Spirit that lives in me than the Spirit that lives in the world. I didn't know I could speak in the name of Jesus and cast demons out of people. I didn't know I had that power. So I never did it. Was I a good Christian? Oh, yeah. Did I go to church every Sunday? Oh, yeah. I mean, did I go to Tuesday night Bible study? Yes. Did I go to Wednesday night service? Yes. Was I in church every time the door was open? Yes. But did I ever see a miracle or healing? No. Didn't even know they were available. Did you ever read any books about anybody that did? No. Never heard of anybody that did. And then one day, I happened to turn on Christian television. And there was a guy on there talking about a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. And I thought, that's the funniest name I ever heard. That's almost as bad as Scrivener.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Rock Solid Christian, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.